It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You know, before we go back to your calls on the Celtics and their loss last night to the Bucks, another observation from the game last night, Chris?
Yes.
Cream City?
I didn't get that.
Me either. And so immediately away on with my sick mind, Cream City, Milwaukee, a lot of nonstop doing going on there.
Oh,
all
God,
that.
That's gross.
Yeah, just so much cream everywhere, but no. And I also thought, well, is it all the dairy industry? Because, you know.
That makes sense. Ever, that could work.
You ever been to Wisconsin?
Or they're just big Wu-Tang fans.
A lot of people, right? Maybe Wu-Tang fans.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
More likely than not, though, if you ever been to Wisconsin, especially Milwaukee.
I've been to Milwaukee.
It's a beefy city. A lot of people love that cream and cheese and beer and heavy. So maybe that's what it had to do with. No, not at all.
Okay.
Turns out, Milwaukee's known as the Cream City, not because of a lot of doing and all the cheese, but because of the yellow cream-colored bricks that were first discovered and made in Milwaukee in the 19th century. That, according to historic Milwaukee tour and membership coordinator Josh Ballou. So there you go. That's why they have the Cream City jerseys.
You know, I have to say, I was in Milwaukee a few years ago for the Celtics playoff series against them, the one they ended up winning in 7 games in the first round, and then they blew it with LeBron, obviously Game 7 on their home court. And that bronze of Fonz is pretty sad. It's one of the saddest tourist attractions I've ever seen.
That city is sad. It's not great. I mean, you have the Harley Davidson factory and like all of this cheddar cheese, neat, and just like a million big heavy people. It's just, it's not a great place at all. Those mid-market cities throughout America, really, by and large, not too great. Yeah, I can't imagine you miss that kind of travel. Like, if you got to go somewhere cool, like, hey, oh, you have to cover so-and-so in L.A., great, go to L.A.
I miss L.A., I'm not going to lie.
New York, Chicago, Miami, what a time.
I don't like Miami. Miami stinks. It's the Miami brings, so here's my feeling on, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but so I always say Philadelphia, which is a city that everyone says is fun. I just haven't been there with the right person or someone that knows it well enough. But to me, Philadelphia combines the worst aspects of Boston and New York. Like, if you take the worst, like, here, you know, the worst aspect of here is, like, the streets are really cramped and, you know, kind of dirty. And then, like, New York, it's, like, it's really big and there's traffic and people are kind of a-holes. To me, that's Philadelphia. Take the two worst aspects
of New York
and Boston.
You had a good night that you met me and my buddies when we went to that road game last
year. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
that's a good
that.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though you sort of bounced there. That was the most fun I've ever had in Philly.
Yeah, you got to be with the right people.
It's true.
Yeah, no. You got the classic late night Irish goodbye.
Oh, you really did.
Where'd Jim go? Poof.
Gone.
Like a ninja.
Yeah, seriously. It was like David Copperfield.
Gotta go.
But
someone was out on his feet.
My point on Miami is that I feel like Miami combines the worst aspects of L.A. in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was...
people are jerks. And,
yeah, and if you don't have juice, you're not getting in anywhere. Like, if you're not rich or like a hot model, you have nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's why... So this last time around, well, just as an aside here, like covering the Super Bowl, probably the last one I'll ever get to go to, I just stuck to, like, the beach and, like, going to, like... you know, low rent places because I didn't want to like have to buy because before and it had been like 15, 20 years since the last time I was in Miami. Like, again, if you're not rich or extremely good looking. Like, you have nothing in Miami. So I was like, I'm just going to go to, like, sports bars and hang on the beach, like, so I don't have to worry about anything. And I had a really good time.
I'm glad you did. Yeah, it's just, and what I mean, it's like, it has, like, the hustle and bustle and the, like, you know, sort of, like, forget you and forget about it of, like, New York. But also has, like, the celebrity sort of aesthetic, superficial social hierarchy of L.A. So it combines, like, the two worst things. So I'm not a fan of that city either. Also, you said you hadn't been there in 15 years. The last time, was that when you were an esports pioneer?
That is correct.
That's what I figured, yes. I heard G4's coming back.
G4 is supposedly coming back. Maybe they wouldn't even remember who.
Are they going to do, like, famous alums who went on to big things? So it'd be like you and Olivia Munn, like, hosting a show?
I can't imagine. Yeah, well, she's become a legitimate movie star.
Yeah.
And I'm just like a sports radio hack. And they'd be like, who the hell are you? Oh, yeah, you were the dopey guy that covered that Madden tournament in 2003.
We're good. Oh, you're the guy that went and bought all the generic jerseys at Marshalls in every city.
Who got fatter in each city. It's literally 32 cities. By the time we got to 30, it was like a completely different guy that you saw on television. Because I just kept eating the worst food at Flying J's all over America.
One more quick thing on that. I just want to say, you should push to do an alumni show with Olivia Munn, just for your own good.
I would take that Instagram photo and then get yelled at by the wife. Alex in New Hampshire, you're next up on the Celtics loss to the Bucks last night. Hey, Alex, what do you make of the game?
Hey, guys, how are you? Happy Saturday. I think we're focusing on the wrong call here with a charge. That goaltending non-call was a five-point swing. What are your guys' thoughts on that non-call with goaltending?
That's a great point to bring that one up. That looked pretty close to goaltending to me. There was one angle I definitely thought it was goaltending. There was another angle where it looked like it was off to the side. But even that angle, I couldn't tell if it was still in contact with the rim. I feel like that one should have been reviewed. That's a great point.
Meyer in the car on the Celtics last night. Go ahead, Meyer.
Hi, guys. Kemba last night was great, even though he played restricted minutes with 19 minutes. Jason Tatum was absolute garbage. But what I was mad about watching the game last night is how we were playing defense on Giannis. Like, we were pressing this guy, and he's an awful jump shooter, and he was taking post fadeaway jump shots, and we fouled him three times on those. I just don't understand the defense. And people, like, 2 to 3 years ago when Kyrie and Hayward were out injured, I remember we played a 2-3 zone on Giannis in the playoffs and beat this guy. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I thought there were a couple of times, I think Scalabrine even commented it once when he went around Smart, and he was like, oh, you'd like to see Smart maybe take a step back there. I think it's a fine line, and it's a difficult balancing act, Jim, between not giving him too much space to ramp up, because he's like LeBron. Like, if you give him a runway,
it's a freight train.
Forget about it. Yeah. So it's a balancing act between you don't want to give him a runway, but also you don't want to get up so close on him that he can just kind of stretch Armstrong or Plastic Man around you. And I think the caller's right. The Celtics could have done a better job. I also thought they could have done a better job of sort of secondary help. But I'll say this. There was one, and B-Rob would probably appreciate this, there was one double team pass that Giannis threw, like, cross court blindside to the corner, that I was like, oh man, like, if he's gonna start throwing those passes, it's over. Like, for to set up a three, I can't remember, might have been Wes Matthews or Dante DiVincenzo, I can't remember it, but I remember watching the game and being like, oh god, like, if Giannis has that pass in his bag, like, get out of here.
Yeah, B-Rob, what'd you make of the game overall last night? Kemba's performance, how bad Tatum was, is there, you know, a lingering concern there? Because I don't think he's been all that great in the scrimmages either.
No, I agree with you on that. He just hasn't had a rhythm at all in Orlando yet, and you know, we'll find out if he gets there. But a lot of it is, I think last night he went up. The Bucks are a historically good team defending the paint, so you don't really, when you don't feel good about your jump shot, like dribbling right into Brook Lopez, that's just not a good idea. And Tatum didn't adapt to that at all. But given Kemba in 20 minutes, Jaylen Brown foul trouble, Tatum playing the worst game of his career, and you still have a chance to win that game, I think you guys are right. Just looking at the positives here, like they're. Brad Stevens sounded pretty optimistic about that game, and I don't blame him.
I was just happy it was back. I've been impressed with the product overall so far. Like, it's not like I've watched every game, but just even, like, you know, checking in on the Memphis game yesterday against Portland.
Yeah.
Like, all
yeah.
these games have been really competitive. I think the flow of the play has been good. Aesthetically, I like how it looks. Like, so far, everything that I've seen out of the bubble has been pretty good.
Did you guys see the Rockets Mavs score last night?
Oh, yeah. No, it was bananas. Went into overtime. Like, that game was ridiculous.
Do you think, B-Rob and Jim, do you think that has anything to do with coronavirus? In other words, do you think maybe guys aren't getting as up on guys, or they're less interested in playing defense, or is that more of a conditioning thing? Again, the first thing that goes when guys aren't necessarily in 100% basketball shape is you start to conserve, air quotes, conserve energy on the defensive end.
I definitely think it's a conditioning thing, especially Mavs and Rockets. Those teams don't want to play defense anyway. Yeah, they'd love to. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of those hit like 170 in the bubble in one of these like meaningless seeding games here. But it's a good question, though.
You know what's the most interesting thing to me, guys, too, is this layoff that's allowed some guys maybe to get fully healthy or guys we haven't seen in a while, like Nurkic for Portland. Like, I looked at Porzingis, and he looked like a different guy.
Yeah,
with all that time off. Like, he finally got fully healthy.
Let's go to Nick in Brighton on last night's Celtics game. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. You know, as a fan, I feel like I'm in all the right to complain and bitch about the refs all I want. But when I see, like, Jaylen Brown going out there and, like, posting on Instagram and things like that, I'm starting to think to myself, is this team even mature enough to, like, handle a playoff series with these guys? They're going to be mentally broken by something like that? I don't know. I'm just a little concerned, and I'd like to see them maybe just shut up and play a little bit.
Nick, refresh me, because I think I only saw this late last night before I went to bed. He went to his Instagram story and he had superimposed Giannis's face and the ref's face, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, and they're like holding hands walking down the streets or something like that. And I'm just like, you know, like I didn't necessarily have a problem with Smart's comments, but I know Jaylen Brown's like, what, 23 years old, but still, like, I don't know. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way in terms of how they're going to approach this, because it's inevitably going to happen in a playoff series. And I see what happens at the end of last night's game right after the call, and they just completely fell apart, and it's just a little concerning.
Yeah, that's a good point. For a guy who might be one of the most mature players in the league, I'd expect better out of Jaylen Brown than to go to Instagram and then, you know, like if you're sore ass about it, fine. But again, ultimately, that's not the reason you lost the game last night. You lost because Tatum sucked. One of your top players was a nothing. Finished with the 5 points, and two of them were fake.
I mean, it was, you know, 142 days between games, as B-Rob pointed out on Boston Sports Journal. It was a long path to get to this. The Celtics know who the dons of the seigneurs of the Eastern Conference are. It's Milwaukee. It was a big game. I'm just going to chalk that up to emotion. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it.
Sean in Rhode Island on the game last night. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. I was calling about the two calls yesterday. My take on those, and I, as a New England fan, I almost feel bad about griping about the refs, but the first Giannis call, if anyone else makes that foul, it's not even a review. It's just an automatic foul, and the game moves on. And the second one, to me, even though technically that was the correct call, if Jaylen Brown's driving in that same situation and Giannis is the blocker, I would say that that would be an offensive foul in that situation, just because Giannis already has 5.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about it is you guys got to remember they reviewed it. So now it's not just the guys that are in the bubble. It's the review center, and so they reviewed it and look. It's not like they made the call and then the referees just convened and changed it on their own. They put the headsets on. They looked at it. They're talking to somebody, you know, wherever the replay thing is. I don't know if it's still in New York or wherever. And then they came up with that call. So, look, in some people's mind, maybe that means they feel like it came on high from the NBA. But when I read the rule and I look at the way they changed the call, I think they got it right.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it sucks, but you know, by the letter of the law, they got it right. You want to be mad about the Tice one? Fine. I mean, of players.
Yeah, that should have been something.
Players hitting the Jimmy, and it happens between a couple of players about the ball, that's an automatic foul. Unless you're a superstar like Giannis. Like that one, that's when you can look at it and be like, well.
Sure. Although he didn't actually hit him in the. That was some primo acting.
Yeah.
What's the German equivalent of the Oscars? Hand one to Tice.
I wish I knew that off the top of my head. Okay, we have other things to discuss, like MLB, which feels like it's teetering.
Yeah.
And we'll laugh at the Red Sox, too, and their loss to the Yankees last night. Next, here on Gasper and Murray. Gasper
and Murray, 98.5, the sports. If this is not a nightmare, it is the worst dream short of it that you can possibly imagine. And let's remember, nobody wants this season to be shut down. I saw some texts from players earlier today that were exhorting fellow players, wear your masks, do what we can, because if we don't, we are truly at threat for this season to be shut down. They do not believe that this is empty words from Rob Manfred.
ESPN's Jeff Passan on the state of Major League Baseball, which feels like it's teetering. Coronavirus spreading. Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Obviously an issue with the Miami Marlins as their season has been paused this week. But you had the St. Louis Cardinals Have four more positive tests this morning. Their second game in their series against the Brewers, that has been postponed today. And there's even more here from Jeff Passan in the last 20 minutes or so. I just want to read a quick thread that he posted with the latest information from sources. The St. Louis Cardinals are the most important team in baseball right now, Chris. The player who tested positive was expected to after contact tracing. The three staff members were more surprising, such as the coronavirus's nature. Cardinals doubleheader against Milwaukee is almost certain to be canceled tomorrow as well. Positives from Friday were via rapid test. Once the more sensitive saliva test confirmed results, the games would be called. Cardinals are simply hoping the spread is contained. Philly seemed to be in a good position. They were a week separated from games against the Marlins with no positives among players. And there's some optimism, according to sources, that the last two positives with a coach and a clubhouse attendant were false positives. Phillies are back to working out. All right, so the good in this, Chris. But let's go on here.
The good in this.
Returning too quickly is no doubt a fear. Multiple days off is bad for players. Their routines are sacrosanct, especially pitchers. And with a rash of arm injuries we've seen already this season, pitchers who have been on the sideline are extraordinarily wary. All in all, if the Cardinals spread is contained, the season will almost certainly continue. If it gets worse, there's a concern. As it stands, the Marlins could play Baltimore probably Wednesday with the weather expected Tuesday. The Phillies should return next week. St. Louis is the question for Major League Baseball. And there's also this. Within the last 20 minutes or so, Lorenzo Cain of the Brewers informed the team he's out. He's not going to participate for the rest of the 2020 season. They say they fully support his decision. But maybe you'll start to see more of that as this thing is growing out of control in Major League Baseball. You know, so maybe they don't shut down, but maybe you'll see more players say, you know what, deuces, I'm out, because this feels like it's a mess. And who knows if this is going to happen again, because we're only a week in and this has happened. And baseball, it feels like, at least according to what happened yesterday, Rob Manfred tells MLBPA head Tony Clark, if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, well, they're going to shut down the season. It does feel like we're staring this in the face right now.
Yeah, it feels like baseball's on the precipice here, and they're steering, as you said, into the abyss. And we'll see. I think the next couple of days are really crucial and critical for baseball. They need to get some of these tests back and have them be negatives and be able to put some of these teams, you know, back into circulation, or they're going to have to come up with something else. Just the one thing I haven't heard and that I want to know, Jim, is do they have any sort of contingency plan where they can remove a certain number of teams? I know that would be kind of harsh, like a team like the Cardinals, to say, okay, you have four at this point, but we need even numbers because the Marlins or whatever. It sounds like they're going to put the Marlins back in. I know Passan was saying he thinks they could play Tuesday or Wednesday, be playing again. But is there any sort of plan here to say, okay, instead of 30 teams, it's going to be 26 or 22, and we're just going to go with the places where we feel like the cities and the areas in America have done a good job of confronting and combating the coronavirus, and we're going to go with the teams that have been disciplined enough to stay healthy, and we'll just figure it out and play it out that way?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would think there would have to be an even number, right? So right now, yeah, if it continues to spread, and you hope that it doesn't, but if it spreads with the Cardinals, and you have what's going on with the Marlins, the hell with you two. We'll take it down to 28.
Yeah, I mean, and I know you'd have to adjust. It's not that easy, because you'd have to adjust the schedule, and that could be tricky, but I'm just wondering. Look, I'm going to be frank. The season's already a joke. So if you don't play 60 games, if it's everybody plays 54 or, you know, 52, and not everybody plays the same people and you have to move some stuff around, I would still think that would be preferable to shutting it all down. I guess that's the question. Is it just a binary choice between we play with all 30 teams and we muddle through, or, oh man, there's too many positives here, we can't make it without eliminating a team, so we just shut the whole thing down? It seems like there should be a solution in the middle.
Eric and Winthrop, what do you make of all this? Appreciate you hanging as long as you have.
Hey, I have a selfish point, too. This is originally what I called about. MLB just made an example out of Joe Kelly. They need to do the same thing with the Marlins and the Cardinals and tell them to go the hell home. If you're going to be irresponsible and put the whole season at risk and the whole league at risk, goodbye, all right? And it's not going to be fair to everybody, but it's too much. And real quick, I'm sorry. Jason Tatum, I think the amount of attention that his backside was getting, you know, towards the end of before the shutdown, I think it caused him to sit back and just kick his heels up during the shutdown. And I think he's just off his game. I think it'll come back.
Yeah, Eric, he's too talented for him to – you know, be what he was last night. I just think he's going to get some rust off, get himself in better shape, get his legs in shape, because it looks like he's got no ups right now, and it should work itself out. But if that's what you get out of him, they have no chance. none down in the bubble. On the first thing, yeah, I think there's going to be repercussions for these guys because it does seem like, based on, you know, preliminary reports, Chris, that how these guys are catching it on the Marlins and the Cardinals is a lack of personal responsibility. That's all it is. There's reports that the Marlins had a couple of scrimmages in Atlanta against the Braves, and some of those guys went out that night. They partied in their hotel. They went out in Atlanta. A couple of guys got it. It spread.
How do you rate the places that they went to in Atlanta, allegedly? I mean, considering they basically have tanked the whole season, was it worth it, or could they have gone to better places?
I don't know. The places haven't been named.
Oh, they haven't?
But not to my knowledge. If they went to Magic City, where Lou Williams went, I completely understand it. If you've never been, and it's not even so much about, you know, the girls or anything like that, and it's like, what, are they taking care of there? No. The place is like sensory overload. Let me tell you, if you ever find yourself in Atlanta, just go for poops and giggles to Magic City once just to be like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm in a rap video. It's crazy. Even on a random Wednesday, you'll see more money thrown around than you'll ever see in your life. Literally, like stacks of just cash just being thrown around. Women being as acrobatic as if you went to a Cirque du Soleil show. It's wild. They break rap artists there. You'll see rap artists there. It's nuts. So I can get it if you want to go out and party for a night. But in this case, you're just going to shut it down for a few months for the greater good for your sport. Can you just do that? And apparently not. And with the Cardinals, there's some reports that some of the Cardinals players went to a casino. Like, can you, I don't know, find an app to just stay in your hotel room and gamble that way? It's mind-blowing to me that, you mentioned it earlier, Chris, in a lot of ways, how these baseball players and some of these pro athletes are acting. It's like, well, they're mirroring society as a whole here in this country. Yeah. Like, that doesn't apply to me. I'm going to do whatever the hell that I want.
Which is where you were in the beginning.
Yes, but I have matured in a short amount of time and realized, yes, I will play along as well.
I thought you were going to say, I have realized this hell pandemic will never end.
Well, that too. Yeah, you know what? So why make it worse on a micro level, you know? 617-779-0985 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. We should get to the Red Sox, who back to their losing again last night in New York, now against the Yankees. I know Chris has a couple of thoughts there on his baseball team. We'll be better. We'll touch on the Red Sox.
Well, I want
next.
You to break it down for me pitch by pitch because I know you watched every inning.
Well, you know, up until these last couple of games, I was being better and watching pitch by pitch. But now that real sports have returned, the hell with that. We'll get to that next here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
CJ Frazier from Frazier Engineering here. We are looking for more great people to do more great work. We need plumbers, HVAC service techs, pipe fitters, and we need them right now. Check out our website at FrazierEngineering.com to learn more. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.
It's the most difficult thing you can face, the loss of a loved one. And you want to do everything you can to honor their memory. Quinlan Memorials of Wakefield has been compassionately serving families in their time of need since 1959. Quinlan Memorials can commemorate the life of your loved one with the perfect cemetery monument, understanding that the price should be a comfort as well. Their professional artists will create the perfect memorial to celebrate a unique life lived. Quinlan also offers cleanings and inscriptions, family stones, and more. Call Ralph at 781-245-2505. That's 781-245-2505. Or visit QuinlanMemorials.com. Quinlan Memorials, their family serving your family since 1959.
T-Mobile and Sprint have merged. So get ready to see T-Mobile with thousands of new locations across the country. And for a limited time, you can switch your family to T-Mobile and get four lines for $25 a line with 5G access included. That's right, unlimited and nationwide 5G for the whole family for just $25 a line with AutoPay. T-Mobile has more 5G coverage than the other guys combined, with 5G available in all 50 states. So don't wait. Unlimited and nationwide 5G access for the whole family for just $25 a line is a deal that won't last long. Visit a T-Mobile store or go to T-Mobile.com today.
Plus taxes and fees. Customers may notice lower speeds and further reduction if using over 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video at 480p. Unlimited while on our network. Qualifying credit and 4+ lines required. Capable device required for 5G. Coverage not available in some areas. Some uses may require certain features. See T-Mobile.com.
That amazing kid you raised is ready for college, and you're proud. We raised you well proud. Dad dance proud. Mama Bear hug proud. The whole block is throwing you a party proud. Citizens Bank is proud to be a part of your student's journey from orientation to graduation. Looking for student loan options and guidance? Our experts are ready. We're going to college. Citizens Bank, made ready. Chat today with a student loan advisor at citizensbank.com/student lending.
Citizens Bank is a brand name of Citizens Bank N.A.
Hawks
Hockey is back, and Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop, is ready for our black and gold to hit the ice. And to celebrate the return of hockey, they're thanking all the loyal customers for their support by offering one of their biggest sales ever. Wednesday, July 29th through Saturday, August 1st, stop by Sports Etc. and score big deals on all hockey purchases. Skates, sticks, and all goalie gear is on sale. Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop, 1303 Mass Ave, Arlington. Some map restrictions may apply.
JB Sash & Door is one of the largest Marvin window and door dealers in New England. Come explore our state-of-the-art showroom and design center in Chelsea.
JB Sash has a huge display of windows and doors from Marvin, and we can help customize finishes, hardware, and more.
Our experts will help you find the perfect Marvin solution for any project.
Whether you need new or replacement windows and doors, JB Sash makes buying Marvin easy and stress-free. Visit us online at jbsash.com.
We are JB Sash & Door, the home of the window boys.
Baseball fans, bummed out you can't watch games in person? How about a chance to win season tickets for next season? Game On Fenway is giving you a chance to win season tickets by playing baseball bingo. Go to GameOnBoston.com for details. Enjoy every pitch with an ice-cold Coors Light and a chance to win season tickets at Game On Fenway. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 plus. Rules and restrictions apply.
In today's changing workplace, you need reliable solutions for internet, voice, and video that'll fit your business and a partner who is there for you every step of the way. RCN Business offers a full suite of products and services to small businesses. They own, manage, and maintain their fiber-rich network, enabling them to provide superior performance and award-winning customer service. Connect with an RCN Business Consulting partner today. Call 877-726-7000 or visit rcn.com/business.
Hi, I'm Bob Giardini, wellness coach and founder of the online weight loss program at FatBurnAmerica.com. It's a simple, effective, easy-to-follow weight loss program. FatBurn America's online system requires zero in-person contact to successfully lose weight. I developed this online weight loss system after supervising over 20,000 one-on-one office visits that led to over 300,000 pounds lost. So why don the mask? Save yourself thousands of dollars and hours of time by executing FatBurn America's proven, easy-to-follow online system at FatBurnAmerica.com.
The Hockey House, Boston's newest synthetic ice facility, is now open in Burlington and enrolling for August summer skill sessions. Visit HockeyHouseOfMass.com. That's HockeyHouseOfMass.com. Come hang out at the Hockey House.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. I'm just going to say again, boy, it is a joy to be back at our regular time. It really is. That extra hour means so much to yours truly. You don't even know. Oh, man, it's so good. And I'm happy to announce as well, after us, not old games that you had heard a million times before, but no, a real live sports show with Tim McCone is going to be on.
Very good.
From 2 to 5. Is that right, McBone? 2 to 5 with Tim McCone. So if you want to get on with him, make sure you're calling at 617-779-0985. Let's touch on your Red Sox here for a moment there, old Chris Gasper. They lose 5-1 to the Yankees last night. They are now 3-5 overall. Not buried just yet, I will say. If they lost, it was a competitive product, too. If they lost that game, the first game of the home-and-home in New York against the Mets the other night, where the Mets had bases loaded in the ninth, they would have been officially buried. And, man, that's the most disappointing Mets-Red Sox results that I can remember since 1986. But either way, now 3-5, and there's a money quote I know you wanted to touch on with this team via the manager Ron Renicke last night. Who said, a reading from Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, Red Sox manager Ron Renicke didn't mince words when he was asked if he was considering replacing Ryan Weber in the Red Sox rotation after last night's loss to the Yankees. Weber, of course, just went 3 1/3 against those Yankee bats last night. And so the quote from Ron Renicke is, again, he was asked if he was considering replacing Ryan Weber in the Red Sox rotation.
He had the 11.57 ERA in two starts.
Renicke said, quote, "Well, not really. Who do we have that we can say we're going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan?"
Isn't that great? That sums up the season. They should put that on the Green Monster. Who do we have that we can say we're going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan? Can we get a banner that says that and put it in right field? You know, I know they have the Black Lives Matter banner, which is, you know, means a lot to me, obviously. But, you know, there's a lot of empty space in right field. Can we put this, can we put a banner that says this out there at Fenway? If you want something that encapsulates and sums up what we've seen so far from the 2020 Red Sox, that is it. That is the money quote. That is the money shot, as they say.
I mean, that sums up what's going on with this team's pitching more than anything anyone else could say or write or put in front of your face. What are we going to put in, or who can we put in that's better than Ryan? And I just think, look, I appreciate how candid he is there, and I appreciate the honesty.
I do, too.
I just also wonder if that's a shot at Chaim Bloom and the nerds. And, you know, he's just trying to play the hand that he's dealt. You know, like, I got a bunch of crap here. What other crap can I put in that could be better than this guy? Because he sucks anyway. Like, what do you want me to do?
Well, he was honest. I mean, I appreciate the honesty. And I thought, you know, in fairness to Weber, I thought he was really honest last night with his, he's frustrated. And you, I think you can also tell, frankly, when I watch him pitch, he looks shook. I think he doesn't have confidence in his stuff at the big league level. And as bad as the home runs he gave up, it was the four walks. And I saw some stat somewhere. I'll try and look for it. But basically, he's like the first pitcher, and you know how baseball is. Like, you have to go back to like Mordecai Three Finger Brown to find a pitcher that's made two starts and hasn't struck out anybody in outings where they went more than three innings. So he's made two starts. He has pitched a total of seven innings in those two starts. He has seven walks and zero strikeouts. He does not have major league stuff. He has fringy major league stuff, and unless he's perfect, he knows he's going to get his brains bashed in.
And a history lesson for you youngins out there, old Mordecai Brown got that nickname from the ladies. Even in the 1800s, he was ahead of his time.
That's not true.
100% true.
That is not true. Oh, my God. You can't say that.
You're going to paint the picture in your head. I can say it. I didn't say anything that bad.
That's unbelievable. Oh, God, that's hysterical.
Because he picked up bottles with three fingers. So he was nice. He was nice to the ladies at the market.
Yeah, that's what you meant.
Want to get that for you, ma'am? Oh, sure. Oh, you only have three fingers. Yeah, here you go.
Oh, it's like Westworld. So when he picked up the can for Dolores with three fingers. I know you love Westworld.
I don't know that reference. But it's like he had a claw. You see.
Yeah. You know, the beginning, you know, how everything with Dolores would start with she dropped the can. And,
oh, right.
You know
okay,
what I'm saying?
Now I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
You've completely, even though you forced me to watch that show and told me how good it was, now you've completely disavowed yourself and blocked out key parts of the show.
What a terrible, terrible show.
Oh, the last season was so bad. I felt bad about myself after I watched it. Like, I'd have to, like, go and, like, sit in the fetal position and rock myself in the shower. I felt terrible about myself as a human being for watching that last season.
I actually want to dial it back. Something else baseball related I wanted to ask you about. Yeah. I didn't even get to yesterday on Felger and Maz.
Sure.
What did you make of the beef that happened between Joe Kelly, the Dodgers, the Houston Astros, and how that was handled on a suspension standpoint for Major League Baseball? He gets whacked 8 games.
Yeah. I was okay with it. I'll tell you why. Because I think it wasn't so much about his actions. It was more about what's happening in baseball in terms of they're dealing with these outbreaks of the coronavirus, and they don't need somebody out there who's, you know, sort of, you know, Captain Save-A-Lot out there taunting people and throwing behind people. I think the suspension had more to do with the fact that his actions precipitated the benches clearing, which is a big no-no this year in Major League Baseball with coronavirus, than it did what he did in terms of the pitchers or the taunting. I think that's why they gave him the 8 games, because they're like, we don't want anybody to think that they can do this, and then we end up with a bunch of teams getting in each other's face on the field, and that's exactly what we don't want this season with coronavirus. I think that's the biggest thing, Jim. I've listened to a lot of people, particularly people here, complain about that suspension for Joe Kelly and defend him. I think they're missing the point. It's not about the Astros and cheating or hitting batters or not hitting batters or throwing behind people's head. It's about coronavirus and the fact that his actions precipitated this gathering on the field, which is everything MLB needs to avoid at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I've come around on that because I was definitely one of those people. I thought that was a draconian measure. Eight games, like hit him for two. And I get it. Yeah. You don't want to have frontier justice. But you are right. The more I've thought about it, like it wasn't so much about Joe Kelly just trying to, you know, get payback.
No.
He wasn't a member of that team. But, like, you know, I get the bad blood, and I think bad blood is good for sports as a whole. Sports hate is good. It's entertaining. He didn't hit anyone. He got more people talking about the sport than they have in months in a positive way. But you can't have the bench clearing thing. You can't have the guys next to each other. So, you know, they set the baseline, and that's probably why they went so high with 8 games, which was what? If it was a 162-game season.
It's 22-game suspension.
22 games? Like, that's harsh.
That is harsh.
But you got to set that baseline to tell these idiots, like, look, you can't do this kind of crap because we can't have it because you're going to ruin the sport and we'll have to shut it down.
Yeah, to me, that's the entire suspension was about that, and I think a lot of people have missed that. If we can just quickly go back to the Red Sox and that comment that Ron Renicke had about Ryan Weber. You know what was also delicious about that comment? It came on the same night that Mookie Betts clubbed his first home run as a Dodger and made a ridiculous throw to throw a guy out. I think it was was it Ketel Marte who was trying to go to third? It was one of the Martes. It was Ketel or Starling Marte, who are both on the Diamondbacks, but just a ridiculous throw. And it's like on the same night where basically Ron Renicke has the best Red Sox quote since Lou Gorman said, "What would we do with Willie McGee?" You have Mookie Betts out there doing Mookie Betts things as the Red Sox lose 5-1 in the Bronx with Ryan Weber on the mound.
That's got to be tough for a lot of Red Sox fans because that clip was all over social media last night and this morning. I mean, still get it through your thick heads. He didn't want to be here. I really believe that. But, man, that's tough to see that kind of throw and be like, wait a minute, we had the homegrown talent, MVP, and now he's on this team doing that kind of stuff? And I have to watch the likes of Ryan Weber go 3-3 against these Yankee bats and then get his face kicked in. And it's Zach Godley tonight, which I will say, I'm interested to see how that pans out because Godley was actually good when he came in relief against the Mets earlier in the week. 4 innings, 7 strikeouts. And I thought it was kind of an indictment on the Nerds, Chris, in that, you know, that was one of their opener games. And who was it? Josh Oshitz.
He spots
the Mets a touchdown, 7-0. Then Godley comes in. And he's lights out, and it's like, did you idiots watch tape? Did you realize that his off-speed stuff actually would have been good against this lineup? Apparently not, because, no, it didn't line up with the algorithm and the math that we've done, and it should be Osich. And it's like, I thought that they got what they deserved that night because it just felt like they were victims of their own nerddom, you know?
Their own, like, hubris?
Yeah. Like, did you really do any kind of homework? Did you realize that Godley could have been good against this lineup, or when he did come in, it was too late anyway?
Well, we'll find out tonight. I mean, they might make an argument that the reason he was so good was because they put him in that role. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what he does tonight. I have to say, you know, this guy, Josh, I have to be very careful with this guy's name, Josh Osich.
Yeah.
Boy, his name can turn into something else pretty fast. And I'll tell you, when he's out on the mound, it's probably pretty apropos.
Let's see. We have, he dropped off. 617-779-0985. You want to join us on anything that we've discussed thus far. Still want to be mad about the Celtics refs. The refs against the Celtics last night, as Giannis should have fouled out a couple of times there, but didn't. And then he had the overturned call against Marcus Smart. We have some time for you if you want to join us at 617-779-0985. But we'll try to squeeze in a few more calls before we get to 5 questions with Chris Gasper. We've got nothing to do with sports next.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, hockey fans from Ponder.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He got some decent looks off pick and rolls. They did a good job loading up to him. They did a good job at the rim on him, and, you know, he'll go back and look at it. You know, he had a couple nights like that early in the season, too, and least of our concerns is him finding the net. That's what he does, so he'll be fine.
Celtics coach Brad Stevens on Jason Tatum's hideous night in the Celtics 119-112 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks in the Orlando bubble last night. 2 of 18 from the floor. 5 points. Ugh, awful. But Brad Stevens, ever positive, saying, he'll be fine. Don't you worry about it. John in Boston, what do you make of Tatum's night in the Celtics overall in this performance?
Hey, guys. Big fan. I think the one thing that Tatum needs to do if he wants to take the extra step, we know he's really good on offense, but when he has a bad offensive game, it shouldn't, derail his defensive performance. I think last night he just did an awful, awful job defensively, and specifically that play that was overturned from a charge to a block. Why would he reach from 3 feet beyond the three-pointer on Giannis? I mean, he's not a shooter. It just seems like he was just mentally checked out because he wasn't doing well on offense. So I'd like to hear your calls.
I mean, that's something I think you see throughout the league, though. If a guy's shots aren't dropping, you see the defense drop as well. I mean, it sucks that happens, but that's just the reality of that sport, I feel like.
It is, but I think part of being a superstar is finding other ways to impact the game positively.
Yeah.
And that was a struggle, I think, for him last night. So, you know, learning experience, it's all new. He's been off for a while, at least from game action, and there's clearly some rust there. We'll see how long it takes to knock it off. I mean, maybe the game tomorrow against Portland, he goes out there and lights it up. But, you know, look, I'm not happy about it, but I think when we came on here last week and said we were a little concerned, you know, people kind of poo-pooed it and said you're overreacting. Well, now I think you look at it and you say, okay, there's some rust there. The question is, how much rust?
Yeah. He doesn't need to score 30 or so a night like he did, you know, game to game in February, but you got to be better than that.
I agree.
Just hope that it's, you know.
He's missing shots that he always – that's the telltale sign. Like, to me, he was missing shots around the rim that I would feel very confident in him making. And I know somebody asked us sort of before, just real quick, about, you know, his shot selection. Maybe some of those shots were too contested, but I didn't think the areas he actually shot from were bad. Like, I had it up here, and now, of course, I'm struggling to find it. But, like, only five of his shots were outside of the paint or the foul line extended area, you know? So, that's 18. He took really 17 shots, but they were all pretty close in and makeable shots for him.
Billy in the van will be the last call of the day here on Gaspar Murray on the Red Sox. Hey, Billy.
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Boys, so, you know, I used to hate baseball, like, a lot. And then I was like, all right, it's coming back. And now I watched, like, the first two innings, and it's just a sucky sport. There's nothing good about it.
Well, I mean, look, Billy, you kind of playing my song there for the most part. But if you got a decent game, look, that first game in New York against the Mets was a good product.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Good,
like,
games.
You have a competitive game. Look, but beyond that, some of these other ones where it feels like it's over within the first couple of innings, well, I'm with you there. It's just, you know, unfortunately, the team you have locally mostly sucks, and their pitching is terrible, and the games are over within the first couple of innings.
Oh, that quote by Renicky, though, man.
That is something.
That's going to last all year long.
Again, and I'm sure Tim McCone will have more on this coming up when he starts at 2 o'clock, but again, Ron Renicky, not mincing words, asked if he was considering replacing Ryan Weber in the Red Sox rotation after they get their face kicked in last night by New York. He goes 3 1/3. Not really. Who do we have that we say going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan? End quote. Oh, it's so good. And let's wrap up with the five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Hit it.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wrap up the way we do each and every week with five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Question number one, Chris, how do you like your marshmallows cooked for s'mores? You like them barely roasted, tan, well roasted, burnt to a crisp, or do you not eat s'mores?
I don't eat s'mores.
Me either. What a terrible dessert. It's just so dry and sticky. Do you want something that's going to be unsatisfying that you will immediately need a drink to wash down and then just be covered in white goo? It's terrible. It's like you got a visit from Mordecai Brown. Question number two. You had to go back earlier in the show when Chris got very offended.
Not offended. I was just like, I can't believe he said that.
Question number two. With many pro sports figures opting out of the 2020 season, I know it's got nothing to do with sports, I know, but what's one thing you'd like to opt out of, Chris? In other words, would you like to opt out of paying bills? Would you like to opt out of cooking? Would you like to opt out of...
I would like to opt out of traffic.
Yeah, you know, there was a time about right around Memorial Day, I actually welcomed traffic back, especially on Fridays, because it felt like there was some level of normalcy to that, especially on a Friday coming into the station. Oh, I'm back to hating it with, like, poison. Oh, it makes me so mad. And even out on the weekend, where are you people going?
Where are you going?
There's nowhere to go.
I know, that's my thing. Where are you going?
Well, I have a house down the Cape. Okay, so you're going to go sit in another house? Like, you just, there's nothing to do. What are you doing? Where are you people going? Stay home. Jesus.
Oh, we got to get there.
To do what? Nothing. Question number three, COVID or not, Chris, what's your favorite summer activity?
Oh, favorite summer activity. Probably barbecuing, like, you know, cookout. Yep. I like that a lot.
And I love a boat. I'm glad I got a buddy with a boat. I haven't really taken advantage as much as I had in the past these last couple of summers. But to have the option to go up on a day like today, a perfect boat day, just to get polluted, and you sit on that boat, and then you decide at some point, I need to go into this water, not only just to pee, but so that I don't die and I need to wake back up. Oh, it's so refreshing.
Bike riding, close second for me.
Bike ride, yeah.
You're nice there. Bike ride.
Question number four, are there any words that you pronounce differently than most people? For example, some people will call mozzarella, mozzarella.
Yes.
Wash, warsh, creek, crick, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think some people say advertisement. I'll say advertisement.
Advertisement.
Yeah.
That's very stuffy of you. You must have others.
I can't think of them right now. Advertisement is one that I know I definitely pronounce differently.
There's, boy, that can be an annoying thing, too. It's just, it will lead to problems, especially if you don't truly like the person. I remember there was years ago, someone I dated, she said.
Oh, here's another one. People will say comparable. Comparable. I'm a comparable guy.
I will occasionally do comparable, comparable. But this girl bugged the hell out of me. Deep down, I didn't really like her anyway. But she said insurance is insurance. Insurance. Oh, it makes me want to strangle. And I will say, too, you know, there's one from one of our hosts here that makes me crazy. How Rich Hurtleap says Marchand. Brad Marchand. He says Marchand. Every time I'm like, Rich, Marchand, say it.
But that guy's changed his name so many times, the pronunciation. I don't even know which one's the right one.
All right. So, again, it's comparable is how you say it.
Yeah.
What else? You must have some other ones.
I can't think of them. I gave you two, advertisement and comparable.
Okay. Well, to wrap up, Chris, are you pro-drone or anti-drone?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to say pro-drone. Why not? I mean, if some drone can fly and drop off my package and, you know, I mean, the robots are going to take over anyway. You might as well get used to it. I know how you feel about the robots, yeah. And you can be abusive to them, but when you're an old man in your robot run nursing home, those robots, man, they're going to take advantage of you. You're going to be in rough shape.
I hate the robots, as I've stated many, many times before, and these are just nothing more than flying robots, so I hate the drone. And not only that, they're a tool of perverts. Like, if you have a buddy that has a drone, like, what's he really using it for? It's to look in windows. We know what you're up to. It is. No one owns it. No buddy of yours owns a drone for any kind of reason.
There are kids that have drones. It's fun to fly. It's like a modern-day kite.
Yeah, okay, so if you have kids, that's fine. Well, yeah. I got it for my kid. But if you're a grown-ass man that doesn't have kids and you have a drone, like, what are you up to? You creep. Mordecai Brown would have owned a drone in 2020 if he was still around. I'll put it to you that way.
But you know, I bet has the best drone? Jerry Jones.
Oh, I sure do. I got a whole fleet of them. I send them up in the sky. I can look at whoever I want. So concludes a Gaspar Murray here on Saturday. Our normal time. We are back. In case you missed it today, you can catch up with anything you might have missed at 985sportshub.com and the app as well. Catch Chris Gaspar on WCVB TV Channel 5. Chris, I'll see you later tonight with the wife.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks to Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal as well. Coming up next, live programming. Wow. Tim McCone, if you want to get on with him, 617-779-0985. First, though, the Sports Up headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.